The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
We welcome you back to hour number two of Get Up This Morning. We are, as always, live from the Seaport. We're brought to you by Chase, and we've got quite a crew this morning. Diana's here. Bart Scott is here. Vince Carter's on the way. Ryan Clark is with us today, and we're going live to Green Bay in a moment, which is where this hour begins, because all eyes are on Wisconsin and the future of Aaron Rodgers, which remains very much in doubt. Yesterday, the Packers general manager Brian Gutekunst answered questions from media about where things stand and when a decision might come. Here's some of what he said.
If Aaron comes to you and says he wants a trade, are you going to be any more willing to trade him than you were last offseason? Are you still saying you're not trading him?
Yeah, no, Matt, those are kind of some hypotheticals. I don't think we're going to go down those roads right now. We're working together. We're not putting deadlines on anything. Again, there are some timing things that will come into play where we will have to make decisions down the road. But Aaron's well aware of that. And like I said, the communication has been very good.
How anxious are you as GM for him to make a decision?
Yeah, like I said, the earlier the better.
Okay, so Rob Domofsky has been very much in the middle of all of this. He's been covering the Packers for us forever and extraordinarily well. And Rob, maybe the most interesting thing that Brian Gutekunst said yesterday, he said to you away from the podium, for those who haven't heard that piece of this story, pick it up from there.
Yeah, that's right, Greeny. We had Goody away from the podium for 40-some minutes yesterday. And one of the first things that I asked him was, did you guys actually have a handshake deal last July that when Rodgers came back, that at the end of this season, would you guys trade him if he still wanted to be traded? And Gutekunst looked at me and he said, that is not something that I told him. Now, if Gutekunst didn't tell him, who did? Maybe Packers president Mark Murphy did, but Gutekunst is the one who has full authority over the roster as the general manager. So when I asked him, well, what did you tell him? And here's what he said. He said we would sit down as a group and work it out one way or another at the end of the season. Well, we're now at the end of the season, and it's a little interesting about that trade situation. You heard the quote there saying, I don't want to get into any hypotheticals. But he was also asked, why not just take a huge haul of draft picks that someone is likely to offer you? And he said, because he's the MVP, and I think we've got a great opportunity to win the Super Bowl next year. Now, obviously, Greeny, that is with Aaron Rodgers here, not somewhere else.
Right, for sure. Let me go back, though, to the first part of that, which is to say what they did do last offseason, without question, was adjust his contract in such a way that they may not have an agreement that they will trade him when he wants and where he wants, but they certainly are, to some degree, handcuffed, yes, by the contract. Can you sort of explain that for the audience, the degree of leverage that Rodgers does have over the situation?
Correct. Originally, he was under contract through 2023, so this coming season and one more. They agreed to chop off that last year of the deal, essentially making 2022 this year the last year of that contract. What that did, though, also was accelerate all kinds of salary cap charge to this year. And if he does come back, they're going to have to restructure the deal. He cannot play. They cannot afford to have him play with a $46 million salary cap hit. So they got to the point where they had to do something after the 2021 season, and that something is three things. Either he retires, they trade him, or they redo the contract and he comes back.
Right, yeah. So now let's live in a world, to go back to your original thought, where Rodgers comes to them and says, I want to be traded, thank you for everything, but I want to move on from here. They may not have a handshake agreement that they'll do it, but didn't you just lay out a scenario where they will, at that point, unless I'm missing something, they won't have any choice. Am I seeing that incorrectly?
No, I think you're right. I mean, they're not going to force him to play. And if he doesn't want to play here, he can just sit out and the contract just sits there. I said this to somebody the other day. If he doesn't want to play here and they don't want to trade him, that contract stays with him forever. He could sit out 99 years in a row. And if in that 100th year he wants to come back, he's still under contract with the Packers for that 1 year.
Okay, stay with us here, Domofsky, because your expertise in this will be valuable. But Diana, let me come to you, because you told us earlier that while not all conversations that take place around the league are fully kosher at this time of year, if you'll excuse the expression, that there are these conversations are clearly going on.
Yeah. Rob does a fantastic job covering. He's all over the story. But, you know, speaking to some league sources about the situation, there are teams right now loaded up, ready to go. They've got a package in place, ready to do this, but they can't call the Green Bay Packers until the Packers are okay with allowing a trade,
right?
Because that would be tampering, right? So the teams that I've spoken to across the league, they're just getting ready to go, which is why they're waiting for Aaron to make this decision, which I told is going to happen very soon. In fact, I had one source text me, this is imminent. This is going to be going down. So the thought process was that they want to get this done, or at least the decision to be made by the start of the combine. The combine is just a few days. So
right.
I think we're going to have some news coming down pretty soon.
Because the point has been made that the combine is where a lot of business takes place. So all the GMs are there, the agents are there, and that kind of stuff. So they would like to know what they're going to do. RC, we've injected a bunch of new information into the conversation. What's on your mind?
Well, I think that Aaron Rodgers is still in control. Aaron Rodgers has the Green Bay Packers sitting in a place where they're waiting on him to make a decision. And that was what he wanted going into camp last year. Let's not forget the way he manipulated the entire offseason. He wanted to be in this spot. He wanted to be in this position of power. He wanted to be able to lay out a list of things that you need to do if you want to keep me. And that's where the Green Bay Packers are. But if you're the Packers, you have to be exploring all options. You know, Diana mentioned tampering. We all know that these folks talk. They might call, hey, man, how's Sally? How's Sue doing? Hey, listen, we got 5 picks and 6 players for Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, but we're going to eat that meatloaf tonight. Y'all know how this junk working. They are talking about what they could get for Aaron Rodgers if he decides he wants to be traded. You also have to be preparing to have a guy like Devontae Adams there if Aaron Rodgers wants to stay. It's so much the Green Bay Packers have to be doing, but that's what you get paid for. That's Brian Gutekunst's job, to be prepared for whatever happens or whatever decision that Aaron Rodgers makes. When you let him walk back into camp last year with his Kevin shirt on and smiling with that long hair slicked back, fresh off of Jeopardy, fresh off of being in the jungle, hanging out with actors and doing all that stuff he was doing, you said, Aaron, we are okay with you doing this because you're the MVP. Well, you got to be okay with making the proper adjustments and being ready for whatever he does now because you put yourself in that position.
That's right. And Bart, I mean, to a point that you made earlier, they are letting him run everything at this point, right? I mean, he is the most powerful person in professional football right now because he has this entire franchise kind of ducking and covering and doing whatever it is. How does that sit with you?
I mean, listen, he's worked hard to have this type of leverage, right? He gave up a lot of leverage last year to come in to have this leverage this year to decide what he wanted to do with his career. And if that means going to another team, retiring, then, you know, he's earned that right. I mean, I've never seen a year where a reigning MVP is being traded, but, you know, he's been able to manipulate that. And this is the era of the empowered athlete. And, you know, I think at some point you got to say, listen, I'm tired of being held hostage by Aaron Rodgers. It's time to cash this chip in and get as many pieces as we can. And understanding that, that means that you lose Devontae Adams. But if you can get 3 picks and players for Aaron Rodgers, then what can you get if you do some type of sign and trade, franchise tag, trade another first-round compensation? You get 4 first-round draft picks for those players. You can build your football team and get a lot of salary cap, you know, relief. Being in this type of division, you have an opportunity because you don't go against any mega teams in this division,
right?
So you'll be fine.
Yeah.
You can be. And listen, if I'm Jordan Love, I'm pissed off. I'm like, look, man, this is my 3rd. What's going on, man? Get me up out of here.
I'm mad because the GM said no one's calling to trade me either. You know, the good news put that out there, just basically saying, yeah, we're not doing that. You know, the other thing from talking to sources around the league in terms of what Aaron Rodgers wants, he wants a very big, lengthy salary, right? $50 million we're talking about, estimated.
At 38. He
wants to be the highest paid player by a wide margin, and that's essentially a wide margin, at $50 million a year.
A team that's already $40 million over the cap, plus Devontae Adams wants to be the highest paid player in football as well. I mean, non-quarterback position as well, so he's going to be $20-something million. And that's the same team you're going to put out there that went absolutely nowhere.
Yeah, I'm going to skip the sound. Gutekunst addressed Adams yesterday and basically said nothing again. So, let me come to you on that, Domofsky. How about it all? We're making an interesting point here. They want to get the Rodgers thing done. He wants to be the highest paid player in the NFL. They want to get the Devontae Adams thing done. He wants to be the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL. They're already an insane amount of money over the salary cap. Can they do all of this?
Yes, they can, Greeny, because the salary cap number, if they do a long-term deal with Adams, will actually be much lower than what the $20 million tag is. But it's a little bit of the chicken and the egg thing. Rodgers wants Adams. Adams only wants to be here if Rodgers here. So which one goes first? Which one do they do? The franchise tag is a last option. That's what Brian Gutekunst told us yesterday, that they would prefer to do a long-term deal. Both sides would. Players, as Bart Narciso, players don't want the tag. It offers no long-term security. Teams don't want it because it's this giant salary cap sum. They're already starting to chip away at their salary cap. Field Yates reported yesterday that they renegotiated Kenny Clark's deal and picked up $10 million in cap space. This morning, Field reported they did the same thing with Aaron Jones and got another $3 million in cap space. They're going to keep kicking the can down the road. Eventually, they're going to pay for it. But the key thing here is a long-term deal for Davante Adams, and that's why they haven't tagged him, and that's why they won't tag him until the absolute last minute, which is March 8th, the end of the tag period.
Do they still want to do a long-term deal with Davante Adams if Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback of the Denver Broncos?
I would argue that Davante Adams is even more valuable if Aaron Rodgers isn't here, because don't you need to give Jordan Love all the opportunity to succeed as possible, and doesn't the best receiver or one of the best receivers in the NFL do that? The question is, does Davante Adams want to do that?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Go ahead, Bart. Pick it up.
There's no way Davante Adams or Aaron Rodgers still want to put his career and his quest for a Super Bowl title on Jordan Love, who the team don't even want anyway.
But how about the money side of it, right?
Plenty of money out there. I mean, you talk about the Raiders that had to replace Henry Ruggs. You talk about the Denver Broncos. Mm-hmm. If Aaron Rodgers goes to Denver, I mean, they're going to give up some players. They have a lot of young talent. They have a lot of salary cap. Hey, you talk about package deals there. It'll be a list of guys willing to give Davante Adams $20 million. He's 30 years old. It'd be unfair to him to tag him at 30 to have him go out there and play and risk the injury and ended up like Odell Beckham, you know, a free agent coming off an injury at 30 years old, where his market value is going to drop.
So this is a situation, RC. Here's where we are with the Green Bay Packers, this historical franchise. Mm-hmm. On one hand, they may wind up going into next year as a pretty significant favorite in the NFC. They bring everybody back. Brady is gone. They're the best team. Or they're rebuilding completely. That, it feels to me, is like what we are. These are the two scenarios, it feels like, that could take place in Green Bay. And we're probably going to know in about a week which way it's going to go. It's a pretty remarkable little tipping point for a franchise. Ryan Clark, go.
Absolutely. That's what happens when you make that sort of deal with a quarterback. With a quarterback who showed you last offseason that he's a little wishy-washy about being on your team. When you allow Aaron Rodgers to get the seat at the table that he wanted, you gave him the seat at the head of the table. There is no owner that can stand over Aaron Rodgers and say, I'm not doing this with my money, or I'm not dealing with you in this way if you're Green Bay. Green Bay, by making that deal with Aaron last year, said, you know what? What we've been throughout history, historically who we've been as an organization, we are changing that. And now when changing that, you find yourself in a position that you've never been in. This is uncharted water. And the problem is, there are sharks in the water and you are bleeding. Aaron Rodgers knows that he has this team in a position where he can do whatever the hell he wants to him right now, and they are at his mercy. And that is why he is using all the time he needs to make his decision. He's making his demands. And now if you're Brian Gutekunst, because you made that deal with the devil, it's time to walk through hell with gasoline draws on.
Boy, I love everything about all of the analogies. Let me ask one last thing to Domofsky here. And that is, you know, there has been a fair amount of Rodgers fatigue expressed by a lot of the players on my show over the last week and a half or so. You know, make up your mind, holding them up, whatever the case may be. How about Packer Nation? Anyone who's been to an NFL game knows there's no team that has more fans than they do. They travel well. They're everywhere. How are the Packer fans right now holding and feeling those that you hear from, I'm sure, regularly as far as the situation is concerned?
Greeny, it's the first question anyone ever asked me, whether I go to the grocery store, whether I go to my kids' high school basketball game, whether I go to the covered heated driving range that I keep myself sane in the winter here. It's the first question everyone wants to know. What's he going to do? Is he going to come back? Do they want him back? People want to know. And I don't know whether it's the sense that everyone wants him back, everyone wants him gone. I don't think it's that. They just want to know, and they want to be able to move on with their lives. Because quite frankly, Greeny, that's pretty much all anybody thinks about up here. It's Green Bay Packers 24/7, 365.
Yep. That seems reasonable. Domofsky, really well done. Thank you, my man. Awesome. We'll check back with you as we as this thing continues to develop. Again, we expect some resolution on this reasonably quickly. Meanwhile, as we continue, have the Cowboys already lost their best chance to win a Super Bowl in this window? Diana had a fascinating conversation with their quarterback. We will have the details on the way. Plus, it was the blockbuster of all blockbusters, the Nets and the Sixers swapping stars. Why Vince Carter says neither one of these teams will make the finals as a result. Fascinating. He's on the way. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back on Get Up, and the D in Big D stands for decisions. The Cowboys have a bunch of them to make. So let's figure out if there's some players they should keep or dump. Diana, Ezekiel Elliott, keep him or dump him?
I think, unfortunately, he's going to be a victim of getting cut eventually here because he's got no guaranteed money left. And we saw the running back position, they're fine there without Ezekiel Elliott. And at this point, he's getting older. We know about the running back position at this point. He's not going to be a major contributor. So at this point, the Dallas Cowboys, they should most likely move on here.
All right, Bart, how about Randy Gregory? Keep or dump?
No, that's a dump. That's barbecue chicken for me. I mean, the guy's had, a tough career as a pro, but also he's 29 years old. He has a lot of discipline issues. You look at that playoff game, he cost him a lot with just not being able to mature. If I'm going to spend that money, I'd rather go out and get a guy like Chandler Jones, somebody I know that's box office.
Oh, I like it. And then, RC, how about you? Amari Cooper, keep him or dump him?
Amari Cooper is not a keeper, Greeny. We're just going to have a little play on words. I think when you get paid $100 million and you're a $20 million a year wide receiver, you have to produce more than he's produced. CeeDee Lamb has obviously shown that he's the true number one go-to guy in that wide receiver room. And if you can move on from Amari Cooper with taking minimal impact to the salary cap, I believe it's time you do that. Wasn't even a top 15 receiver this year in 2021.
All right, so in the opinion of this panel, that's a lot of dumps for the
Dallas Cowboys. We dump everyone.
I didn't have a nice way of saying that. but very quickly, as we look at what their season ahead may look like, I know you had a conversation with Dak. I'm not sure if it was at the Super Bowl, but interesting stuff.
Yeah, it was actually at the NFL Honors Awards. He was nice enough to stop at the red carpet. He was getting asked a lot of questions. And, we just reflected a little bit on, or at least he reflected on the season. And he said, I'm just looking forward to having an off season, not being injured, not rehabbing, so I can focus on the basic stuff, going back to just the fundamentals. And mentally for him, he says it was exhausting to sort of be in that space of coming back all season. It was all about Dak, right? And every interview, every press conference was about how he feels coming off that injury. And now he just feels like he's back to himself.
Well, which is good. And so the stability of that there and the stability of the coaching staff, and you see the question on the screen there, Bart Scott, they're bringing back the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator. Stability is usually a good thing. Is it here?
I don't think so. I think it really hurts them because now you have a bunch of guys. You heard RC talking about it was blood in the water and the sharks around. Well, for Mike McCarthy, it's sharks all over the place, whether it's Sean Payton, whether it's Dan Quinn, who I think is retained because he probably got some type of guarantee or promise that he'll get a legitimate opportunity if the next season doesn't go according to plan. You have Kellen Moore, right? So we've seen this from Jerry Jones before when, he had Wade Phillips and then he had Jason Garrett, right? He emboldens and empowers his assistants, and it's nothing that Mike McCarthy can do to get credit outside of winning the Super Bowl, because if the defense plays well, it's Dan Quinn's, going to get the credit. If the offense plays well, then it's Kellen Moore. But if the team does bad, it's all Mike McCarthy's fault, no matter what, role the coordinators play in it. So you can't have that type of environment where you can't trust the people that you work with, because if you fail, like all seasons go to the ups and downs and roller coasters, then they're going to be up there ear hustling and trying to spit game to the general managers and the people that make the decisions.
I think that's really well put, that anything anything that goes well, he won't get the credit for. And anything goes badly, it's all going to sort of be laying in his feet. And so, RC, at the risk of getting your buddy Marcus Spears mad at you, if I were to ask you the question, are the Cowboys' best days behind them or in front of them as far as this era of Dallas Cowboys football is concerned, what's the right answer?
I think their best days are in front of them. Now, how far in front of them, I don't really know. When you look at this team and the way that they were constructed to win now. You're going to have to do some rebuilding, have to do some retooling. But I believe with the coaches, especially defensively, I believe they'll get better. After you drafted Micah Parsons, you move some things around on the back end, get you another corner. From what I hear, Kelvin Joseph is really coming along, a guy they drafted from Kentucky last year. And Dak Prescott has an opportunity to mature. Prescott has an opportunity to work on his game the entire offseason. It's going to be overcoming the things that they had to face at the head coaching position last year. We watched Kellen Moore be very good early on in the season. Dan Quinn improve at least to an average defense that could turn the football over and help you win games. I think that those things continue to ascend. Are they better in critical situational football moments? And does Dak Prescott play the way he played early on in the season the entire year? They can still be better, but they have to be on the small little details, and I believe that's what Dak Prescott was speaking to Diana about in the offseason.
Yeah, and quickly, I just have a second on this here, but so much talk about their coordinators. The Sean Payton thing, Diana, is going to hover over them and at least over the coach so much, no matter what else happens here for the next little bit, and that's a guy you know well. How about that factor here?
Yeah, I think week one of this NFL season, it's going to be very difficult for Sean Payton to be sitting home watching football. So I think right now there's a lot of noise about that potentially, and from what I was told from both Jerry Jones and Sean Payton, they haven't had conversations. Of course, I'm not sure they're going to admit that, right, with that Mike McCarthy already being the head coach, but that's obviously something that would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, so there are a lot of names of interest as that swirls around all of us in Dallas. We'll take a short break on that thought. As we continue, they went from rising stars to superstars. So who will make the biggest leap next season? Bartholomew will share his top five as we continue. Plus, Saturday night was just a disaster, so how does the NBA fix it? We will ask maybe the greatest dunker of them all, Vince Carter, his opinion on that when he joins us next. And speaking of dunks, we got a little sneaky hembo for Vince.
Ooh.
Which player leads the NBA in dunks this season? That's the question. Vince Carter will answer it next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, we are back on Get Up, and here we go, Vince Carter. Hembo's got his eye on you here. You may be the greatest dunker of all time. Which player leads the NBA in dunks this season?
So I have a couple of guys in mind. Typically, you would think big men of some sort. So you think of maybe Embiid. I cover Utah, so maybe Gobert, and then maybe Giannis. I'm going to go with Giannis.
Oh, you were so close. You said it. The answer is Gobert. You said it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Hembo is so happy. I hate it when Hembo celebrates. It is Rudy Gobert with 155 dunks on this season. Giannis is fourth on the list behind Jared Allen and Mitchell Robinson. There we go. Vince Carter's with us here. Ow, he's in pain. Throw on the floor. Let me ask you a few other questions while I have you here. Right this minute, who's the MVP of the NBA season?
I'm going to say Joel Embiid right now. I think he's leading the league in scoring, 29.6 points. He's eighth in rebounding, 11th in blocks, and he's shooting 50% from the field, but 37% from three. But here's the thing that I like about this year. They played, the Sixers have played 58 games. he's played 46 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's on the floor. He's active. He's there. And when he's available, he's a monster and tough to stop.
No question. Now we'll see how he teams up with James Harden. Right now, who's your pick to come out of the Western Conference?
I'm going to pick the Phoenix Suns right now. Yes, I know Chris Paul is out. They have a 6.5 game cushion against the Warriors, ahead of the Warriors right now. So it's, can the Suns hold down the fort? But right now, they're playing the best basketball. And we don't know what the Lakers, who we all expected. You know, the Warriors getting Draymond Green back. So right now, I say the Suns are holding the fort down and playing the best basketball, and they're the best in the West right now.
Yeah, look, the Paul injury is a tough one. How about in the East? Which team right now are you picking to come out of the East?
I pick Miami Heat right now, currently. We don't know what the Sixers are going to be like. We know they're going to be better. Obviously, we know the Nets are going to be better. But, you know, that guy, Tyler Hero, has been playing great basketball while Jimmy Butler was out and Bam was out. And now they have their team back, and they're just business as usual defensively and, you know, obviously scoring offensively, and just has just been under the radar. But yet, when you look at the standings, look who's the top of the Eastern Conference.
Miami. Absolutely, and that's a testament to a lot of things, including excellent coaching and a bunch more. But they don't have sort of the glitzy stars there that some of the other teams do. So let's talk about the others. If you like the Heat there, we didn't get to touch, you were with us earlier this morning, on the marriage between Embiid and James Harden. It's an interesting one. How do you see them fitting together as they head down the stretch?
So my concern is, yes, I think they'll gel together. And we talked about Embiid being the MVP. We know James Harden is a dynamic scorer. But to me, I feel like where will you get your shooting from? Who is going to be the guy that can spread the floor and make the game easier for these two guys? Because, yes, we know they both can get it done. But at some point, you're going to try to get everybody kind of to sit in Joel's lap or – make Harden give the ball up. And when you give up somebody like a Seth Curry, who is a knockdown shooter, you can't leave him. That is my concern with them. Yes, they will gel. They're going to make noise. But can they win it without the dynamic shooter that they had before is my question.
And an enormous amount of pressure, obviously, on Harden, having worked his way into getting what he wanted. And the Nets get to at least some degree what they want. They get Ben Simmons in there. For those who are just joining us here, how about the Nets? Some people will say if those three guys are all healthy and together, just send the trophy to Brooklyn right now. Does that sound about right?
I mean, it sounds pretty accurate. And I say because they had question marks leading into the trade, and they needed rebounding. And if you lose Harden, you need a facilitator, you need a wing defender, and you get all of that. You get two rebounders in Drummond and Simmons. You get the playmaker in Simmons. You get a defender in Simmons, and you get more shooting, Greeny. You get more shooting. So you add to the shooting that you already had by bringing in a dynamic shooter who we just talked about in Seth Curry. So and then you add a guy like a veteran in Dragic who you can implement him in there. He's a playmaker. He can score. He makes plays. He's been deep into the playoffs. So he has winning pedigree as well. So, man, top to bottom, they have depth. They have a starting unit and they have a second unit. Tough to beat.
Right, and a reminder that the energy in here in New York does feel as though it is moving towards a vaccine mandate being lifted and Kyrie Irving being eligible to play in all of the home games. That has not happened yet and certainly isn't a guarantee. All right, before I let you go, Vince, I said it before. On Saturday night, a nation turned its lonely eyes to you as maybe the greatest dunker of all time. The slam dunk contest this year has been roundly criticized. What are your thoughts on it, and what can we do, if anything, to make it better?
I applaud these guys. They're pushing the envelope, and they're trying to just set the bar and go next level. And some of the dunks, like, I felt, those are makeable dunks. And, I'm asked a lot, how can you fix the dunk contest? It's just the commitment to want to just, I hated Greeny missing dunks. And some guys are just there to participate and just to put on the show, but I wanted to put on the show and I wanted to be a perfect performance. And I think guys, when they take that approach, things will change. I don't know what you could do. I know they tried to implement the wheel. That was a disaster. I just like to see guys go at it and say, hey man, I'm not gonna miss a dunk and I'm gonna set the bar. What are you gonna do? And that was kind of my approach, and the rest was history.
You just keep talking. I just want to keep watching this. Candidly, I think I speak for America when I say, you just keep saying anything you want, and we'll just keep watching this. Can you still do this? Like all honesty, if you came back and did this at the dunk contest next year, I will absolutely be glued to watching. Could you still compete in this thing?
No, Greedy. You have to give me some time to kind of get my body back into that mode where I'm aerodynamic again. Three-point shooting, maybe? Dunking? That's a lot of stretching that needs to be done.
Next year, I'm begging you. I'll get a stretcher for you. Whatever you need. I'll get you a trainer. I'll get you whatever you need. We need Vince Carter. Say it with me. We need Vince Carter back in the slam dunk contest. Thank you very much, Vince. Great to see you, as always. And we'll check in with you as we work our way through the rest of the season. Oh, so we come back tomorrow night. NBA second half starts. Our Friday doubleheader. We will have the aforementioned Miami Heat taking on the Knicks at 7:30 Eastern. And then the battle for L.A. Let's see how LeBron Lakers start the second half, taking on the Clippers. We'll start your coverage with NBA Countdown tomorrow night, 7 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. Okay, back to football we go, and Bart Scott is here with us today. And we saw last year with Joe Burrow, the enormous, you know, some people talk about a sophomore slump. He had the opposite of that, the enormous growth in his second season. So give me the top five players who you think will make the biggest leap from this year to next year.
Well, I love it today, Greeny. You get bonus Bart, America, so eat your heart out. I tell you what, I want to start with Zach Wilson. And you say, okay, of course, Bart's a Jets fan. But listen, you talk about the Jets having four picks in the top 40. But also, you talk about almost $50 million in salary cap space. Joe Douglas is going to get this thing turned around. You talk about hitting on Michael Carter and also hitting on Elijah Moore. You know, I think they just add to that, getting some tight end work and improve that offensive line. And remember, Mekhi Becton's coming back, the outstanding left tackle.
Okay, you can go to four if you want to, but so far I'm a big fan of five.
Tell you what, number four, Javonte Williams. These are guys that a lot of America don't really know who he is. When you think about Jonathan Taylor, think about Javonte Williams. You talk about a guy that gets more yards after contact, almost 1,000 yards rushing, and he was not the feature back. Remember, Melvin Gordon was the feature back. And really the caveat to this is that now with Nathaniel Hackett being the head coach, A.A. Ryan's going to be over there. So now that means it's going to be lighter boxes because A.A. Ryan's going to be there. And number three, I'm going to go with Chase Claypool. You talk about a guy that should be looked at just like Justin Jefferson. And once he gets out of the TikToks and all the things that he do and mature a little bit, I think he's going to have a breakout year. This year, almost 1,000 yards receiving. I think they improve that offensive line. I think they find a veteran quarterback. And I think he gets more opportunities to go down the field. And number two, Darren Waller. I mean, once you heard Josh McDaniels hired as the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders, you should start thinking picking up Darren Waller in my fantasy league. You talk about a guy that is outstanding, a receiver at the tight end position. You think about the history of McDaniels and what he's been able to do with outstanding tight ends. Hunter Henry, you talk about Rob Gronkowski. You talk about you know, all the great receivers he's had within that system.
Yeah.
And finally, my number one guy. And listen, it's not just because I like to pick guys that I played for.
Yeah.
Action Jackson. And listen, I think the Ravens are going to come back. You talk about Action Jackson being hurt this year. It's because he had to do a lot because he didn't have any running backs. You talk about they lost their two top running backs in the beginning of the season. Before the season started, he gets J.K. Dobbins back. He gets Gus Edwards back. And guess what? He gets Ronnie Stanley back. People forget Ronnie Stanley was the highest paid left tackle before Trent Williams took over. So now Action Jackson's coming back. They have salary cap space, and also they have the receipts of all the people that was having all that smoke when they fell short of the playoffs.
All right, that's extremely well done. I really like this list, and I like some of the insight that it brings. I want to bring RC and Diana in here. And Diana, I want to start with you, because literally in the previous break, I was looking on Twitter and I saw a tweet that had Shefty talking about how Lamar Jackson's contract situation, it is unprecedented in NFL history. We've never had a deal of this magnitude being handled without an agent in place. So where are they as far as that's concerned? What should we be expecting as far as Lamar Jackson in that regard with Baltimore?
No, it is really interesting. And the fact that he hasn't hired one, and it seems that the Baltimore Ravens are comfortable with the fact that he doesn't have one because we know that they want him back. They know he's the future.
Yeah, his mom is helping out
a little bit. Yeah,
the market sets the value, right? We already know what Josh Allen got. That's the floor.
Right.
Action Jackson, MVP. he wants to be able to have it. But it's about the fine details within those type of contracts, injury guarantee, skill deprivation, all those type of things, the nuance that you really want an agent to have. But you can look at some of the comps of the contracts that's already been made, and you work from there.
I get it, but there's a reason that these people have been doing this forever.
Absolutely.
So it's a road less traveled, which he has done a lot throughout his career, and it has been extraordinarily successful. The Ravens, we should expect, Diana, next year, if they're not hit with the barrage of injuries they were this year, to be really dangerous, yes?
Oh, absolutely. And it, obviously with Lamar Jackson being back, and the injury thing was an absolute killer for this team, and we saw that. And they should be definitely improved. Lots of coaching changes there, but they should be improved.
RC, let me come to you on that, because this is a division that for the long, it's like upside down. Mm-hmm. You know, for the longest time, it was Pittsburgh and Baltimore, and then you had the, now all of a sudden, we expected Cleveland, and there was Cincinnati in the Super Bowl. But if the Ravens are generally healthy next year, what do you anticipate for Lamar and for that team?
If Lamar Jackson is healthy, I expect MVP caliber play. Think about early on last season. They were absolutely deprived of talent offensively, and Lamar Jackson was willing this team to wins with his arm, with his legs, and mostly with his heart. And so I know who Lamar Jackson is and what he's made of. Now you get some of those running backs back. You get some people healthy defensively, and you have one of the best coaches in football in John Harbaugh. I expect this team to contend again to win the AFC North, a team that has an opportunity to win divisional round playoff games and possibly get to the AFC championship. The difficult part about where the Baltimore Ravens are is this. You have the Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow. You have a guy like Justin Herbert and a ton of cap space in Los Angeles. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen. It is a treacherous road to get to the Super Bowl out of the AFC. But if I have Lamar Jackson, I have hope. No matter what all the detractors say, what he's been since he took over the starting job in Baltimore has been absolutely phenomenal. And when healthy, he's one of the best players in the league in any position. That's who I expect to see next year. And if he's back, so are the Baltimore Ravens.
All right, we'll see what they wind up doing. In the meantime, I promise you, what we're about to show you is going to be the thing that you remember the most from our program today. Let's roll this here, everyone. This is Jeff Saturday. Our buddy Jeff Saturday is on a family vacation with a group of other people in Iceland. He is the one on the left of your screen, and they're doing a TikTok dance in Iceland. Diana, how do you rate the moves from Jeff Saturday?
Not bad. First of all, great vacation choice by him. Yeah. I wouldn't think that would be just like the regular vacation thing. Good for him. But the fact that, first of all, Jeff doesn't even tweet, so now he's on TikTok?
Yeah. He does tweet now.
He has gone on Twitter in a big way.
What do you think, Bart? Look at the moves.
Listen, he's ready for Dancing with the Stars. Listen, big fella lost the weight. Now it's time to go out and cut a rug. You know what I'm saying? The heel toe going on right there. River dance. He's ready for all the categories.
Look how slow his feet are. Like everyone next to him doing bands, he's a little nervous.
It's the heavy boots.
RC, give me a quick critique here on our buddy Saturday.
Looks like Buffalo.
Hey, Jeff Saturday is the guy. Jeff Saturday is good on any Martin Luther King drive with me, and I expect him to keep expanding his social media footprint. It was being in the shadow of Peyton all of those years that didn't allow my dog to shine. Now Jeff Saturday is ready for the world to see all the talents that he have, and this is a 10 out of 10 for me because my dog is showing you that the big man still got moves.
Yeah. Look at him ride the pony, man. That's a little new addition right there. I think he might have been doing a new addition.
That's a few weeks ago, Jeff.
In Iceland, he's having a good time there. So we will see how that turns out.
And he didn't pull anything like Adam Schefter.
As we continue, if Aaron Rodgers wants out, will the Packers actually fulfill his wish? Should they? We'll dive into that and a whole lot more. We're dancing on. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back on Get Up, and this obviously is the overwhelming story. What a week it's been for Aaron Rodgers, looming over his teammate Davante Adams and lots of other players. The start of the franchise tag window, that was the other day. And then Monday, of course, Rodgers posting a cryptic message on Instagram where he thanked, among others, his teammates past and current. It was an emotional message. Then the following day, Tuesday, he's on the Pat McAfee show saying there'll be no news on that day. He did reference Adams' status, who, of course, is a free agent. Packers general manager Brian Gutekunst spoke to reporters on where things stand yesterday.
If Aaron comes to you and says he wants a trade, are you going to be any more willing to trade him than you were last offseason, or are you still saying you're not trading him?
Yeah, no matter. Those are kind of some hypotheticals. I don't think we're going to go down those roads right now. We're working together. We're not putting deadlines on anything. Again, there are some timing things that will come into play where we will have to make decisions down the road. But Aaron's well aware of that. And like I said, the communication has been very good.
How anxious are you as GM for him to make a decision?
Yeah, like I said, the earlier the better.
All right, so what does the earlier the better mean? That's the first thing, because I think, you know, there's a lot of fans who are probably getting tired of the subject matter, but the reality of it is this is overwhelmingly the most important thing happening in the NFL. This is a two-time reigning MVP who might be changing teams this offseason or, in theory, retiring. Yeah. Diana, when should we expect to know?
Well, you don't just have the Green Bay Packers waiting. You have the rest of the league, because there are teams out there right now who have put together a package to hopefully trade for Aaron Rodgers. But right now, I was told that the decision that Aaron Rodgers is going to make should be coming soon. He should be informing the Green Bay Packers front office what he plans to do. Then there's some of dominoes that fall right after that.
Which are what?
Well, first, the Green Bay Packers, depending on what his decision is, let's say it's, I don't want to be here anymore, they then have to agree to trade him. Because as we're about to see here, if you guys can pull up the quote from the Packers GM yesterday, he made it very clear, and this is really interesting because we've been talking all season long that there was an agreement made between Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers that if Aaron wanted to be traded at the end of the season, he could. But if you see here, and if you read the quote.
Yeah, Brian Gutekunst said that there is no such agreement in place, at least not with him, that they agreed that they would sit down and work it out one way or the other, but not guaranteeing Rodgers he could be traded if that's what he wanted.
Greeny, that's huge. All we've been talking about is where is Aaron Rodgers going to land? Well, guess what? The Green Bay Packers have control right now because it's his contract. He's contractually obligated to play with the Green Bay Packers, but his decision should be looming. But then, of course, if he does ask for a trade and the Green Bay Packers agree to it, then Aaron would have to also agree to the team
right
that the Green Bay Packers agree to.
And he's going to want a new contract when he gets there.
He'd want a new contract there. And he also wants to be paid as the highest paid player in the NFL by a wide margin from people I've been speaking with.
And so with all of this going on, and you're trying to run a franchise here, and look, he's been brilliant and they've won a lot of football games, Bart. But at what point do you have to say to yourself, as an organization, we just can't have this hovering over us all the time like this?
I mean, it has to happen soon, Greeny. And listen, Aaron Rodgers, when they made that deal with him last year that made his cap hit $46 million, he looked at Gutekunst and said, look at me, I'm the captain now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the captain now. He's running this ship. This is his show. It goes as he pleases, because if he doesn't, you know, agree to a long-term deal, then they can't afford to keep that cap hit and try and get Davante Adams. They got to replace Rashawn Gary. Listen, he is in control. And listen, it's where he wants to go, and that's why, you know, the ball is in his court, and that's why he decided to come back. And listen, he's the MVP. He deserves to be the highest paid player in the league. But at some point, you got to consider getting rid of a great player for a bunch of good players. We talk about all the time, you know, what Herschel Walker was in Dallas at that time that they traded him, and people thought he was crazy. But if it started and built the foundation, which would be Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin, which created a mini dynasty. At some point, you got to cash in the biggest chips, because even with Aaron Rodgers, you still went home at the divisional round, and that's not what you're playing for, especially right in Green Bay.
Yeah, so RC, you sort of analogized it earlier today, what they did a year ago to sort of making a deal with the devil. Now you got to go all the way. Well, they're still in that. Are you still going for, if he says, all right, I'm in, you're staying in, right? You're staying in with Aaron Rodgers and doing whatever you can to win right now.
Yeah, I believe you're staying in because I think that's some of the things that you did contractually. And you're saying out loud, we didn't say that we had a handshake agreement that we would trade Aaron Rodgers if he wanted to be traded. And I feel like the Green Bay Packers are doubling down that Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback that they want, that Aaron Rodgers is the guy for this team. And why wouldn't he be? He, last 2 years, he's been the best quarterback in football. But you also have to realize what that means. When Diana continues to tell us he wants to be the highest paid player in the NFL and not by the skin of his teeth. He wants it to be obvious that when he stands on his wallet, he is as tall as Bol Bol. And so for Aaron Rodgers, he has to say, okay, what do I want to do and how do I want it to look? Because he is in full control, at least of that situation. No, he can't just leave if he wants to, but his cap hit is so high, you have to redo his contract if he's there. If he asks to be traded, are you going to be ready to give what you have to give Aaron Rodgers away and get what's coming back to you? I feel like what the Green Bay Packers did last year by allowing Aaron Rodgers the seat at the head of the table has now handcuffed them to him and to his will. And we haven't seen many organizations in the NFL in this position. He is now the LeBron James of football. And yeah, we know how LeBron makes his moves. He's waiting for his son to get in. Aaron Rodgers ain't had his kid yet.
I was going to add that, actually.
Super quick. Yeah. The people you talk to in the league, because I know you're calling everyone every day. What's the lean? What do they expect to happen?
I think what's interesting is, there is a sense that people think he's going back. This is even from teams that are in on this, that think that he's going to return to Green Bay. So while we've spent a lot of time talking about where he would fit, in the end, he could return back to Green Bay, which, you know, Packer Nation would be psyched about.
We'll find out. Hopefully we'll find out from him soon. In the meantime, the conversation will continue at the top of the hour with First Take. They're on the way. How far can KD, Kyrie, and Ben Simmons go? Don't miss Molly, Stephen A., and the Hall of Famer Isaiah Thomas in the house. Top of the hour on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
All right, don't miss our next NHL on ESPN matchup. We got Alex Ovechkin and the Caps visiting the Rangers tonight, 7 Eastern. Then the Rangers back as part of our ABC matinee on Saturday, taking on Sidney Crosby and the Penguins. And we are out of time. These two are going to hang out with me on ESPN Radio coast to coast in 60 seconds. But Isaiah Thomas is in the house for First Take now.